Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2023. This morning I will talk about the parable of the dragnet. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, all glory and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the dead that we might have the hope of eternal life. In whom else shall we believe? Forgive our besetting sins, the ones so close to our hearts that we repeat them over and over. We confess that we love our sins and can only be rid of them with your forbearance and assistance. In whom else shall we believe? Thank you for our families, our health, our means of support, and our salvation in you. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to others and expand your holy kingdom. In whom else shall we believe? In the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us strength to live each day, the grace to witness to those around us, and the peace that passes all understanding. Your shalom. Draw us to yourself, open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, and strengthen our hands in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Luke 15:4, we read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that it was lost until he finds it?" No survey of love in the parables is complete without an examination of the parable of the lost sheep. While the parable closely exhibits God's grace, as already mentioned, it is hard to isolate this grace from hesed love. This is an implicit bond, a covenant of care between a shepherd and the sheep. Ownership implies care. Even in the case of a superpower, there is an obligation to protect its weaker allies, like a mother cares for her child or a duck for her ducklings. Still, several aspects of the parable of the lost sheep are unsettling in its presentation of love, starting with the word lost. The word lost in the Greek, apolumi, can mean to cause or experience destruction, to fail to obtain what one expects or anticipates, lose out on, or lose, to lose something that has already been separated from a normal connection, to lose, to be lost. How does the sheep get lost, and who is responsible? Why does the shepherd leave the other 99 sheep unattended while he searches for the lost sheep? It appears that the value placed on the lost sheep is imprudent, even reckless. When we take the next step and apply this parable to sinners, this parable becomes even more awkward. Does God love sinners more than the faithful? The righteous seem to get a bum rap in this parable. Actually, the cheeky nature of this parable is the main point. We are all sinners. None are righteous. All have fallen short of the love of God. This parable makes no sense without the doctrine of original sin. The 99 righteous people are an illusion. None are righteous. We are all lost sheep. Bloomberg observes that many interpret righteous to imply more like self-righteous, which speaks to the problem of religious complacency. No one wants to be seen as lost. The need for vigilance among the faithful is reinforced by the many parables focusing on judgment, like the parable of the dragnet. Here we read, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. So it is at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is Matthew 13:47-50. Judgment makes the point that it is hard for God to love the good, that is, the righteous, if he doesn't hate the bad, the evil. This dichotomous world of good and bad fish, pictured, bothers most Christians today because they reject moralistic thinking. For a first century Jew, the picture here is of righteous people who obey the Mosaic covenant and unrighteous who do not. In the parable, the sorting of the good and bad is initially done by the fishermen, who keep the good and recycle the bad. Later, these fishermen are described as angels who throw the evil in the fiery furnace without saying what becomes of the righteous. It is helpful to recast this dichotomous picture here as our response to pain during a Gethsemane moment. When we face a painful moment or a painful choice, do we turn to God and give it over to Him, Or do we turn into the pain and sulk? When we habitually do one or the other, our personalities and culture are formed and hardened. The dragnet also suddenly becomes real, although judgment is something we impose on ourselves, not something imposed by God. The good news is that Christ died for our sins so that we don't have to. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.